No group is more interested in the work of the 9/11 Commission than the families of the victims of that day's attacks. Many relatives were here in Washington this week to watch the hearings in person. Others followed the testimony on television. In a moment, we'll get reaction to the hearings from two family members. If you'd like to call with your questions about what the families expect from this investigation, you can give us a call. The number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email, TOTN@NPR.org. Joining us now is Charles Wolf, who lost his wife, Catherine Wolf, in the World Trade Center. She worked on the 97th floor of Tower 1, about where the first plane hit. Charles Wolf joins us now from his home in New York City. It's good of you to be with us today.
Nice to be with you.
And Deborah Burlingame joins us from Westchester County, New York. Her brother, Charles, was the pilot of American Airlines Flight 77, which was flown into the Pentagon. And it's very good of you to be with us today.
Thank you.
You've both been watching the commission hearings on TV. What's your reaction to what you've heard? Deborah Burlingame, why don't you go first?
Well, I was actually pleased watching yesterday and today and the day before to see that it hadn't broken out into an all-out partisan fight, that there was an attempt at cordiality and people were trying to listen to what the people testifying had to say, with a minimum of sniping, if you will. I didn't find the them terribly informative, having said that, because I think that there's so much already out in the public domain which covers the areas that were covered in the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that was added that I hadn't heard before were some of the thoughts, the subjective thoughts of the principal players here. While that was interesting, I'm not sure that that was helpful.
Charles Wolf, what did you think?
Well, I have to go along with Deborah and say that I was pleased at what I saw. There's a lot of experience on that panel, and I think that what we don't know, of course, is what's been told them in the private hearings, all the classified stuff that they get to listen to. Condoleezza Rice, who I wish had been, who wished the administration would testify. You know, they've heard from her. So, you know, you're hearing a lot of questions based on also what they've heard before. But it was good. You realize that this commission is a group of very intelligent people who have a depth of experience in government, both Democrat and Republican. And it gave me a sense that we have some intelligent people looking at this thing. And I really feel that they want to know the answers. Period. They want to know the answers and what happened.
I wonder how each of you reacted to the apology that Richard Clark began his testimony with. Did you accept that as sincere? And have you heard that from anybody else, Deborah?
Well, you know, I have to say I had mixed feelings about that apology initially. I mean, I listened to this stuff. I try to be intelligent about how I take this stuff in. On the other hand, there's an emotional component, which I'm sure that Charles will second me, that he feels as well. To hear someone who was intimately involved in counterterrorism for as long as this man was apologize, I did have an emotional reaction to it. On the other hand, in other words, it was kind of nice to hear someone apologize.
And if it was anybody's job in particular,
yeah,
it was his.
Right. Or at least he was involved. I'm not saying that, you know,
yeah.
I'm not commenting on the level of, you know, his culpability, if any. But I, on the other hand, I felt that it was a strategic move on his part to disarm the commission. Because I think he was anticipating that he was going to have credibility problems, because of this book that he's written that was timed to, you know, to appear, for sale, even in my supermarket yesterday, I found it, sitting there. And, I think that he was trying to, you know, grab the high road very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of preempt, if you will, any suggestions that he, doesn't have, the highest motives.
Charles, what did you think?
I have to agree with her. My first thing was suspicion. I mean, apologies are great, and you know every married man knows that you need to apologize to your wife, and I think maybe apologies reach in a little deeper emotionally to women than they do with men. My first thing was suspicion. Like, all right, what's he doing here? And why is he saying this? But then as he went on and as he went through, you always have to listen to the music as well as the words. And you heard what he said, and you have to attach some sincerity to it. And I felt it was very nice. I mean, I've always felt that this whole blasted thing, this September 11th, was a lot of institutional problems and a lot of we just missed it and we just screwed up. And yeah, he was the first guy to said it. And I guess it's kind of meant more to me emotionally the next day, like today, as I kind of thought about it. But at that point, I felt like, is this man trying to set himself up to sell more of his book?
Mm-hmm.
I think he really, really made a bad error by even letting the book come out. I mean, he blames the White House for sitting on it for approval for so long, but he still had the authority to when it came out.
Let's get a caller on the line, and this is Mohan, who's with us from San Francisco.
Yeah, hi. First of all, my condolences for your loss. I know it probably sounds hollow, it's just words, but I've been watching the hearings on a C-SPAN, not just in the last couple of days, but maybe about 4 or 5 months ago or so, and I noticed that the family members had a long list of questions for the commission that they wanted answered, and I wanted to get your impression about whether you feel the questions were adequately asked by the commission members, let alone be answered by the panel. Thanks.
Charles, why don't you start off on that?
Well, there's been almost 9/11 family members. There's, 3,000 immediate family members, and thousands upon thousands. We don't all get together and decide these things, but there's a few of us who have become active. And the active group in this area has been called the Family Steering Committee, and the most active of that group has probably been the Jersey Girls. And they are really the ones that are responsible for the formation of this whole commission. But them and the rest of the Family Steering Committee kind of put a lot of the questions together. And since they have their head into it and are most deeply involved with it, and some of them have experience in government, I've been letting them take care of that, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So we all don't kind of involve ourselves with every little detail. We'd never be able to go on with our lives if we did. But having said all that, if you watched, I think it was on the day that Madeleine Albright was on, the commissioner, Thomas Keene, asked a question that the family members had put to them. And I was pleased to see that. Listening to all the commissioners talk, I did feel like they were asking some good, intelligent questions. But are there ones that have been missed? Perhaps there are. I'm just not that close to that.
Deborah, what about you? Is there something that you think, I don't know about you, but when I watch the TV, particularly when it's something that I'm involved in, I tend to yell at it a little bit from time to time. I wonder what you were yelling yesterday, if you were.
No, I haven't had that reaction to this, with one exception. I can think of some testimony in the last public hearings when I think it was an official from the FAA, I believe he was, you forget which agency that you're dealing with, said that it was too difficult to tag some 3,500 names with the airlines. I think it was Slate Gordon said, wait a minute, suspect names. I know, having worked for the airlines in another life, that they have millions of names in a frequent flyer program that they tag, in a matter of seconds when they, put your name into the computer. So mm-hmm. I was screaming a little bit there. But for the most part, I'm really waiting for their written report, because I know that the public hearings are a tip of the iceberg of the information that they've received in their closed sessions. And, for instance, Richard Clark has testified now. He spent 6 hours in front of the Senate Select Committee, and he spent another 15 hours, not including yesterday, in a closed-door session with them. And this is repeated with virtually all of these witnesses. So I think the meat of what they will have to report hasn't been disseminated to the public yet. And I have been very somewhat critical of the commission to go out in the past and make public statements, sort of making pronouncements about the state of the evidence before it's all in. I think that's a foolish thing for them to do strategically, because I think the commission needs to be very wary about charges of partisanship and, you know, trying to, you know, affect public perception.
In the middle of an election year, especially.
Precisely.
Yeah. Mohan, thanks very much for the phone call. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News. We're speaking with Charles Wolfe and Deborah Burlingame. Both of them have immediate family members who were killed on 9/11, about their reactions to the hearings this week. And let's get another caller on the air. Jeff is with us from Vista, California.
Good afternoon to the both of you guys.
Hi.
My deepest condolences to your losses. I have a question for both of you. What is your reaction to the refusal of Condoleezza Rice to not appear publicly before this commission? And if, well, basically, I guess I need your answers in order to ask the second part of the question. Maybe you can answer it at the same time. And what steps have you, or if any, taken to make this more of an issue if it really is or does pertain to this case?
Just to add, before we ask for an answer, that Condoleezza Rice has appeared in private, as we were discussing before the break, for reasons she cites, separation of powers. She says the National Security Advisor should not be testifying in public under oath before a commission chartered by Congress. Anyway, that's her position. Charles Wolfe?
Well, I think that Condoleezza Rice should testify, and I think the White House needs to take a step back and take a look at this from a bigger picture. This is an extraordinary event, and I believe that the White House is doing itself a disservice by not letting her testify. I think that the public hearings perform a function, and they perform a function that tells the people that the system is operating and the system is working.
I agree.
If everything is held in private, I think we'd wonder, well, what are they really doing?
Right.
So there's a reason for that. And I do believe, I believe that I've met Condoleezza Rice, I've had a chat with her. She's a very, very intelligent person. And I think she would do very well. She knows what to say that she can't answer. Mm-hmm. Those guys know what they can't ask her. But I think she would be an asset to the situation. I think she'd be an asset to the commission's understanding. I think she'd be an asset to the administration.
Deborah, let's get your reaction.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you, at least in terms of her being an asset. And even Tom Kaine, the chairman of the commission yesterday, said that he was hoping that she would testify, she would appear, because she's so good, he said, mm-hmm. because she's so very good. And I think what he meant was she's going to help in terms of these charges that the Bush administration had some nefarious doings, or they weren't paying attention, they were asleep at the switch, or all of that. But I think, you know, as a former attorney, I very much appreciate this idea of executive privilege and the fact that this would be unprecedented. I mean, remember, the Bush administration is taking the position that they are currently engaged in prosecuting a war on terror. You know, there is no precedent for calling. You know, this commission wanted to call President Bush under oath and in public. And I thought, you know, I can't imagine calling FDR in the middle of World War II to, you know, take an oath. Of course, it wouldn't have been on television, but, you know, on radio maybe, to answer questions about what he knew and when he knew it with regard to Pearl Harbor. It just seems, you know, that notion to us seems, you know, crazy.
I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. But thank you both very much. And I hope we can get back in touch with you when the report comes out and get your reaction then.
Thank you, Neil.
Nice to be with you. Bye-bye.
Deborah Burlingame from her home in Westchester County, New York. Charles Wolfe from his apartment in New York City. Both of them lost direct relatives on 9/11. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.